questions, raise your hand. I will bring the mic to you.
So, Brandon, when you move here, are you going to be renting a house or are you going to purchase something right away?
All right, next
Undecided.
Question.
Undecided.
Next question.
What was that? What was your website, please?
Oh, my website. Yeah, you can go to BrandonHammons.org or AncientPathsAdventures.com or .org, both and. I love anybody. We still have spots open for my Israel-Turkey trip this fall. And so those of you that are interested in going and studying the text in its context, its cultural context, this September we've got a Israel-Turkey trip going to Israel. Who were they? The disciples. And then where did they go and how did they impact the ancient world with the gospel? How did they do that? So if that interests you, then. Oh, website again, you could do BrandonHammons.org. So just my name, Brandon Hammons, or AncientPathsAdventures.com. It all kind of takes you to the same place. The Ancient Paths Adventure one takes you to my study tours page, but it's still my Brandon Hammons website. It's just a certain page on there.
Yeah, we could probably put a link on the website for us, too. When you have, for your teaching on our website, we'll have a link there for your webpage. Other questions?
Scott? How do you tie in, just real quick, the tabernacle and the temples, and you were referring to how many you saw and how many there were, and just how this was a place where God would rest, where we would come to meet him, and the upcoming, what we have now, this explosion of houses of prayers. Is there any correlation? Is that just a long shot, or is that my mind was reeling when you were talking about that, and it just seemed to me that the place where we're coming to for that prayer and intimacy with are these houses of prayer, which are springing up everywhere, and does that tie at all to a tabernacle?
Absolutely, that's what I'm getting at, and that's. I mean, if we had, we could do a whole teaching on that. You know, I mean, spend tons of time on that, and the theological topic that they use to describe that is replication. Replication in the sense that everything that's going on is it's like the tabernacle is the replication of what's already in heaven, and so because God desires to replicate that which is on heaven on the earth. Jesus prayed it himself. I desire, you know, obviously my prayer is that heaven would be on earth, that everything on earth would be as it is in heaven, okay? And so it's a replicative thing. And so the praying church, the prayer movement, the house of prayer, all of that is in that vein. He's attempting to replicate that which is going on in heaven. And so the structure was the tabernacle, but the activity is the people, the praying church. And the activity is Revelation 4. It's the 24 elders, it's the four living creatures crying out, it's the myriad of angels, it's the worship and the incense that is perpetually before him. That's the replicative part as far as activity goes. Yeah. It's a great time, thought, and question. Yeah.
We're going to do, we'll just hang here for about 10 minutes. We'll answer questions for about 10 minutes. Then we'll shut this down. If you have additional questions, meet Brandon up front. But I do want to let you guys go in about 10 minutes here. It's 9 o'clock, and I want to honor your time. So let's take a couple more questions, and then any remainder questions we'll just take up front with you and dismiss.
So you're talking about identity, stepping into your identity as far as really moving into that realm of rest. And you'd started off in this session with priestly identities, stuff, you know, such like that.
Yep.
As far as identity, I guess my biggest thing is, you know, the Lord calling the artisans to build up the temple, you know, calling in and just the importance that he put on that. Is that a both and as far as identity, priestly, you know, artisan, or is that like priestly being the identity that you're talking about the Lord is really moving us all into eventually? Or is it like, as far as today's words, marketplace and ministry.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. I think you're bringing a great point. And I actually probably should have done better at clarifying that. When I think of like the Levitical priests, okay, when I think of them, their occupation as a priest is to tend to the tabernacle and the temple. But so there's an occupation aspect to it, but there's also an identity aspect to it. which is attributed to all of humanity. Okay? So at the same time, I think of, I mean, you can even think of the fivefold ministry, you know, that Paul talks about in Ephesians 3, is there's this, you know, I mean, you've got, you know, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, and it's like, you know, I personally know that I don't hold the office of a prophet, but I can prophesy. You know what I mean? And so in the same way with priestliness, there's that office of a priest that was amongst the Hebrews, but everybody was called to the priestly ministry. Does that make sense? Like anybody can operate in the prophetic, but not everybody is in the office of a prophet. It's a few specified people. And the same thing goes with teachers. We're all teachers in this room, but some people are actually in the office of a teacher. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the way I think about it. It's a great question.
So, Brandon, our body is the temple.
Yes.
Expound on that.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think that you're hitting a huge point there. I mean, because again, when the glory of God left, okay, so Ezekiel chapter 9, we see the glory of God leave the Solomon's temple, and it never comes back. So in Jesus' temple, the glory wasn't there, okay, it left, and it never had returned. They still had articles in the temple, but even then, there was no Ark of the Covenant. The Holy of Holies was just empty, because there was nothing in there, because the ark was taken in the Babylonian invasion. And they think that Jeremiah, tradition says, actually, First Maccabees actually makes a statement that Jeremiah hid all the articles of the temple in a cave on Mount Nebo, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant's at. But again, I don't know. If you want to be Indiana Jones and go find it, that'd be pretty sweet. But it left, and the Spirit wasn't dwelling, the presence of God wasn't dwelling in the temple anymore, but the picture of the veil being torn in two from top to bottom, so even the imagery that heaven to earth, top to bottom, all of a sudden, it's immediately after that, 50 days after that, at Pentecost, well, even before that, in John chapter 20, verses 21, 22, and 23, we're told that Jesus breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive my spirit," for he says, "Peace be to you, receive my," and he breathes on them, they said, "Receive," so they receive the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, so all of a sudden, the Spirit moves from being in a room into being in a people. And so we become the temple in essence. And so not only are we the temple, which is the great point, but we're also the priests. And so there's all kinds of unique, I think you're making a great point. Yeah. Good thought. Good question.
Brandon, can you elaborate on Revelation 14:13? Where it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." We were talking before, and I said it was so liberating to hear your teaching on rest and identity. That's just a huge piece, and I was so glad this morning. But I'm just wondering if you could, you know, give us your perspective. If we die in the Lord from now on and our works follow us, our rest is identity, our rest is sleep, our rest is, back to our discussion, yes.
Yeah, so that verse, so what's fascinating to me is it says that they rest from their labors, but they're still working. And so it's like, and so it's so their labors, like their works still follow them. It's not that they're not doing anything anymore, you know what I mean? And so there's this unique dynamic where it's like that there's an aspect of labor where that's going to end, And they're going to enter into a place of rest where the work now is no longer an issue of doing it for identity. It's because you're doing it because that's just who you are. So that there's a major shift in my mind. And in this, for instance, it's death into, at this point, it's pre-resurrection of the dead. And so at this point, they're entering into a place where they will ultimately enter into the truth of their identity in the fullness of it in the resurrection of the dead. But I put this here because they're still tying together the topic of works and rest, but they're not removing work from rest. And that somehow these two things are deeply intertwined as far as even in the age to come. Because we think of, you know, eternity as floating on a cloud with a harp, you know what I mean? And that's what we're going to do forever. But I, I don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. It's because, and the reason why is because we love the earth. We want, I mean, I want to be able to, I still want to elk hunt in the age to come. I want to be in the Rockies. Like, I want to rule and reign over somewhere in Colorado in the age to come is my job occupation. And I mean, and it's, that's in us. And it's, but it, the work then, it's not going to be an issue of working to enter the rest. It's going to be working because you already are in the rest. Yeah, is kind of the way I approach it. Great question. No one else? Okay.
Okay. Good. Amen. Let's give Brandon a hand of appreciation. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
And you guys, thanks for coming out tonight.